I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us for a second visit to Chichester on the beautiful West Sussex coast. This area's history is closely linked to the sea, and visitors may care to visit the Naval Museum. Exhibits include a tattered flag flown on HMS Victory at the Battle of Trafalgar. It became riddled with holes from rifle and cannon shot as it fluttered above the heads of sailors on the poop deck, as they called it afterwards. During the 18th century, this coastline became notorious for the smuggling of brandy and tobacco. But these days, it's more likely to be people who are smuggled. The Coast Guard now patrols Chichester Harbour nightly to pick up desperate economic migrants trying to make their way out. This part of the coast was pivotal in the preparations for D-Day. At the end of the war, the local army base was bought by Butlins and converted to become one of their finest holiday camps. Obviously, they had to spend some time having 3 miles of barbed wire, machine gun towers and tank traps put in. Just a short ferry ride across the Solent is the Isle of Wight. A charming, unspoilt place, it wasn't until 10 years ago that the island got its first and only escalator. Installed in a branch of British Home Stores, islanders flocked to try it out until after 2 weeks, the entire population was trapped on the first floor. Under the current economic climate, the nearby town of Bognor Regis... Yes, you see, I've been there. Under the current economic climate, the nearby town of Bognor Regis has seen a revival as a holiday resort. Apart from the cost advantage, there's the time factor. Fly to Goa and you lose 8 hours, but you can arrive in Bognor at 9 a.m, and after 4 hours, look at your watch and find it's 9:05. A few miles to the west of here is the city of Portsmouth. Immigration statistics have revealed that Portsmouth is home to Britain's second largest group of Bolivians after London. A hard-working people, the Bolivians settled in Portsmouth to escape the fascist regime and summary police executions back in London. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and David Mitchell. And please welcome the lady whose entry is always warmly welcomed, our regular scorer, the delightful Samantha. Okay, well, we start this week with a round called Uxbridge English Dictionary. So, teams, let's hear any new definitions that you've spotted recently. Tim, you can start this.
Tumbling, jewellery for the belly button.
David?
Manchester, a specialist in cosmetic surgery for ladyboys.
Barry?
Email.
Yorkshire for the postman's arrived.
Graham?
Kittywake, a cat's funeral.
Tendentious, having 10 dents.
Lactic, a stopped clock.
Outrank, to be smellier than.
Lambada, a sheep with no legs.
Gastronome, a flatulent dwarf.
Pesto, insecticide gravy browning.
Sheep dip, unpopular buffet item.
Macaroon, to leave a Scotsman on a desert island.
Hydrangea, a warning from Tonto.
The teams are going to indulge with a spot of acting now in the game called Sound Charades. This was inspired by the old TV favourite Give Us a Clue, where teams used to mime the titles of books or films. In the original game, the teams were silent while the audience went wild with enthusiasm. This version is a neat reversal of that. The undisputed mime meister of Give Us a Clue was, of course, Lionel Blair, whose best ever score is still recalled with admiration by Christopher Biggins. It didn't start well, but then Lionel suddenly came from behind with his steamboat willy. And after finishing off the third man in record time, ended up with the wrong trousers. So, Tim and David, you're going to start, please, and your title will soon be displayed to the audience via the plasma display screen. For listeners at home, here's the mystery voice, okay?
A room with a view. A room with a view.
So, right, you're guessing this one, Barry and Graham. So off you go, Tim and David.
It's five words, and it's a book and a film. Oh. And it goes like this.
Oh, dear, I don't know what to think about the Lisbon Treaty.
Well, why don't you ask the lounge? It's always got an opinion.
Really? Okay, yep. Okay. Yep.
Lisbon, any help there? Not specifically.
Does Lisbon occur in the title of this?
No.
Lounge?
No.
It's a very opinionated part of the house.
Yes.
Which would be one way of saying a room with a view.
Right, well, it's your turn, Barry and Graham. Your title's now being exhibited on the laser display board, and here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
File on four. File on four.
It's a radio programme, and it's three words.
Good morning. Good morning. I wish to complain.
Oh, yes, I am.
I came here to get my right hand manicured, and you haven't done the thumb.
Are you sure, sir?
Am I sure? Yes, all you did was this.
Oh.
The end.
Could you do it again, please?
No.
Can't remember anything else.
Can't stand
repeat.
It wasn't
nothing,
really.
Nothing like sitting in a room with hundreds of people thinking you're stupid.
But you must know that sensation.
He came in to have his right hand manicured and they didn't.
And they didn't do it properly.
Didn't do the thumb.
They didn't do a full job.
They did all the other bits.
If it's any help, you're not stupid. They're rubbish clues.
They did the fingers and not the thumb.
How many fingers?
Four.
Yes.
What?
Oh.
What would file on four.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Edge of seat stuff, I think you'd agree. Anyone who'd like to hear a longer version of that, or just wants more... or just wants more information on the making of this week's show, can go to bbc.co.uk/ why not try getting a life. This next round is tailor-made for families with younger children. There really aren't enough shows that can involve both parents and their kids anymore. Probably the greatest of all was Ask the Family, hosted by the marvellous Robert Robinson with his famous catchphrase, "Here's a tricky question for father and eldest daughter only." So, hang on, that's an Austrian High Court judge. Sorry. Okay. I've got some children's playground rhymes, which are incomplete, and the team's task is to guess what the endings might be. We'll start with you, Graham. Can you complete this playground rhyme when I read it? Teddy bear, go upstairs. Teddy bear, say your prayers. Teddy bear, turn out the lights.
Teddy bear, don't do that.
The actual answer is teddy bear, say goodnight.
Oh. Oh.
Yes. So, Barry, can you complete this one? Miss Lucy had a baby. She named it Tiny Tim. She put it in the bathtub to see if it could swim. It drank up all the water. It ate up all the soap.
Where were the bloody social services?
Tried to eat the bathtub, but it wouldn't go down its throat. That's a true story as well. Here's a playground rhyme for David. Here you are, David. You can complete this for us. Ring a roses, a pocket full of posies, a tissue...
Catch it, bin it, kill it.
Tim, how about this one? Ipper-dipper-dation, my operation...
Ipper-dipper-duke, do you want another Luke?
It's how many...
Well, go on, do you?
No, that's such a horrible thought, I can't go on. Graham, can you complete this one? Here we go, Luby Lou. Here we go, Luby Light. Here we go, Luby Lou.
That was a party political broadcast on behalf of UKIP.
All on a Saturday night. Barry, not last night, but the night before, 24 robbers came a-knocking at the door. I came downstairs for them to see, and this is what they said to me.
We're canvassing on behalf of the Conservative Party.
It's actually Spanish lady, turn right round. Spanish lady, touch the ground. Spanish lady, do the high kicks. Spanish lady, do the splits.
Oh. It's great, isn't it, that a lot of these rhymes have been lost?
Here's another one for you, David. Milk, milk, lemonade.
Triple vodka, you'll get laid.
Tim, one potato, two potato, three potato, four, five potato, six potato.
And to follow, Mr. Prescott?
OK, here's one for any of you to have a go at. Ip dip sky blue, who's it? Not you. Not because you're dirty, not because you're clean.
Because I think you're lying when you say that you're 16.
All coming out tonight.
Here's another one for any of you.
Speak for yourself.
When Susie was a baby Susie was. She went ga-ga, ga-ga-ga. When Susie was a toddler Susie was. She went scribble, 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 scribble. When Susie was a child Susie was. She went why, why. When Susie was a teenager Susie was. She went...
Like the clappers.
Shine up your buttons with Brasso. It's only tuppence a tin.
You can also buff up your arso with a handkerchief soaked in gin.
Thank you, David. I might try that. And finally, Gypsy Rosaline washed her hair with turpentine.
People used to gossip and mutter about what she did with a knob of butter.
You cleaned that up, didn't you?
I did.
I think we'll stop it there before it gets any more disturbing. It's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. But first, from the large number of tweets we've had, it seems there's a budgie trapped in the postbox. And that we've received a letter from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. She writes, Dear Miss Toxfig, here's one of my favourite cuttings. It's 4 miles of double track just north of Crewe. Yours truly, Mrs. Trellis. Right, so this week we'll be playing the popular and always fascinating trivia Mornington Crescent. So, teams, I hope you've brought your London Underground fact books with you, as I'm looking for a high-scoring game. It's played more or less to Mortimer's 1952 variation, but without the huffing. You can start, Tim.
No huffing?
No huffing.
1952?
Yep.
Not the revised?
No, the original.
No huffing?
No huffing.
Well,
no.
I go for... No, I won't. I think I'll go for... No, I won't. Victoria.
Why?
Because twinned with King's Cross, it's recorded the highest number of tube suicides each year.
Oh, well, fair enough.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, St. John's Wood.
Oh, yes.
I do St. John's Wood.
Yeah, that's... No,
which,
that's
as everybody knows, is the only tube station name which does not have any letters of the word mackerel in it. David, yes?
Okay, well, I think I'll go Aldwych.
Oh, good.
Oh, excellent. Nice. Yeah. No, that's good. I like that.
You've played this before, haven't you?
It seems like it. And that's because firstly, it's closed, yes. Which I think is interesting. And also, it's featured on level 12 in the game Tomb Raider. So I think that scores more for that, I think.
Yeah. Careful, Graham, careful.
I know, it's tricky. He's trying to shunt me there.
There's no huffing, remember?
No, I was going to play a pure Mortimer move, and I'll take All Saints, which happens to be the only tube station which shares the name of a pop group.
Oh.
Apart from the Elephant and Garfunkel.
All Saints, you say?
All Saints.
Angel. It, incidentally, has Western Europe's longest escalator.
Good heavens.
318 steps.
Really?
More than Russia.
Northfield.
Oh, yes.
Why?
Yes. I'll tell you why.
Oh, dear.
It's on the Piccadilly line. It was the first station to use kestrels and hawks to kill pigeons and stop them setting up homes in stations. Yeah. Northfield.
I would have to pick you up on one point there, Barry. I don't think Northfield's being on the Piccadilly line is trivia. That's just obvious when you look at the map.
But the the ancillary information is trivia.
Yeah.
Right. Please don't waste our time again with stuff that isn't trivia.
My God, you're good, Jack.
Yeah. Well, someone has to be.
Yes.
I wanted Graham Norton, but there we are.
Yeah, but not on the show.
No.
I'm going to go Chancery Lane, shortest escalator on the system.
How many steps do you know?
Just 50.
Are you lying, making it up? Or do you know it to be 50?
Is that a trick question?
No, it's not. It's quite straight.
I know it to be 50, although I will own that isn't the minimum number of steps possible in an escalator, which is one.
I would say it would have to be at least two, so that when it goes round, you haven't got a blank bit.
Yeah, one step, if it was big enough, would be a lift.
Never mind, it's good. Chancery.
Chancery.
Piccadilly? Yes,
Piccadilly. Do you know, on the Piccadilly line, Piccadilly's on the Piccadilly line, which is not trivial.
Exactly.
But what is trivial is that commuters, hearing a recording of the phrase, mind the gap, on the Piccadilly line, are listening to the voice of Tim Bentinck, who plays David Archer in The Archers.
Good Lord. Yes.
So I've got to go Upton Park.
Oh, and why would that be?
Because backwards it's crap, not poo.
Oh, wide open there. Yeah. I can match it with Park. Finsbury Park.
Oh.
Backwards is crappy rub sniff.
Give as good as you get.
Yeah, exactly. Don't mess with me.
I think I'll have to go East Finchley.
Oh. Oh, come on. What's that about?
That saw the birth of Jerry Springer when his mother was there for an air raid.
No. Jerry Springer, air raid, East Finchley.
East Finchley, no. Jerry Springer, air raid.
Mornington Crescent. Oh.
Well played. Well, the teams are going to sing for us now in the round called Just a Minim. This is the team's amusing version of Just a Minute, the wireless favourite, hosted in unique fashion by Nicholas Parsons. The show started in 1967, and his contribution to comedy is still outstanding. Okay, so the song I'd like you to sing without repetition, hesitation, or deviation is The Rain in Spain. And would you please start, David?
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain. I think she's got it. She's cottoned on. The drizzle abroad remains largely on the flat bits. By George, she understands. By Georgina, male version, she does.
Graham.
Repetition of she's.
Ooh.
Quite harsh. Yeah.
Repetition of she's. Well, I'd
pretty
like
tough that.
Like yeah. Just see you continue the song without using that word. Over to you, Graham. Yes.
Now once again, where does it rain? On the.
Tim.
Once again is repetition.
Strictly speaking, not a correct challenge, but the audience enjoyed it so much. I'm going to give you a point for it, Tim, a very skilled and long-time player of the game. So I have to give it back to Graham.
On the plane, on the 747, and where's that soggy flat prairie? In Iberia, in that bit just next to Portugal, the downpour in Europe remains largely what?
Hesitation, deviation, and repetition.
Oh. Tim, I think I have to give that to Tim. I think you, Barry.
Can I join in?
You can indeed, yes. Do you want to take over?
Where are we?
Chichester.
Have the visitors been?
Come on, you're not in the day room anymore.
The deluge in Iberia remains chiefly in the lowlands. In Hartford, Hereford and Hampshire, hurricanes hardly happen. How kind of you to let me come. Repeat. What is the location of what?
Repetition.
You're on my team.
Was it a repetition of what, Graham?
Repeat. He said repeat.
He said repeat twice.
No, once.
I just said it once.
But repeat once is repetition.
Explain. Oh, I see.
Graham's. I thought you'd have found that an amusing challenge. Apparently not.
How do you repeat once?
I can't
say
give you
once,
that.
That's once.
Not,
once
not,
again.
Not really.
You've got me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so far past caring anyway. But I could end it with a gong.
Yes.
But I'm not going to.
Oh!
Okay, it was repetition. It's over to Graham. You're sitting here.
Oh, right.
That was it?
Yeah, hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. Yeah, it's fun guess. Working with the fastest wits in the country. It really is. Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is time to... Yes, but there is time to fit in a round of proverbs. Now, as Tim was worried I might struggle with this, he kindly gave me the benefit of his Cambridge University education to explain that proverbs are sayings which express a truth based on common sense or the practical experience of humanity. And they're often metaphorical, or if a proverb is distinguished by particularly good phrasing, it may be known as an aphorism. And a good example of that is, nobody likes a smart ass, Tim. Now, the English language is full to bursting with useful proverbs, but I'd like you, please, teams, to adapt some to suit foreign countries. So, Tim, you can start this.
Spain, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll be off the Cornish coast in no time.
Barry?
In France, they say, strike while the iron is hot, and on virtually every other occasion.
David?
It's one for the Chernobyl area, and it's, Ruth is stranger since fission.
Graham?
Another one here for France. Sarkozy is the lowest form of wit.
There's also one from here in Sussex. They say, marry in Hastings, repent at your leisure centre.
I've got one for Zimbabwe, actually.
Oh, really? Just,
if you can't beat them, why arrest them?
And one from North Korea. Kim Jong-il, wind that blows nobody any good.
I've got another one for Korea, actually.
Oh.
Every dog has its day. Just check the best before date.
Australia, red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Red sky in the morning, your sheep are on fire.
Cool one for Sweden. One swallow doesn't make a satisfying film.
Laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry in Sierra Leone.
Well, I've got one for China, which is two wongs make a wong.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the trout of time leaps to take the flies of fate, and the manager of Burton's decides his shop needs a much better damp course, I notice... It's the end of the show. So from the teams, Samantha, myself and our audience here in Chichester, it's goodbye. Goodbye!
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Timbrook Taylor and David Mitchell were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.